Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Metron people, welcome to the podcast, people. And thanks for some of the great response I got just this week from podcast people who listen to the podcast who live in Atlanta and also other places. There's a very specific energy on the YouTube videos, and there's a completely different energy on being able to listen to it. And so, again, thanks, Charles, for your excellent work and making sure that podcast gets posted every week. And we welcome you to Metron Live, coming to you live from historic Midtown Atlanta. Last week, I think it's been a long time since I've said I didn't finish my outline. That's old school Pentecostal. Like, I couldn't even preach my sermon today. The spirit was so heavy. But that's kind of what happened last week. And so I want to start kind of with what I left off with last week. And usually I start with a scripture. I'm starting with a quote this morning from Obi-Wan Kenobi. Our title is May the Force Be With You, Discovering New Dimensions of the Holy Spirit in the Now. And the quote that I want to use from the original Star Wars movie is remember, the Force will be with you always. I'm going to show you a couple of things that Jesus said that verify this, but let me give you a little disclaimer again for context. You guys are so evolved and enlightened that you don't even notice this kind of thing, but what I taught you last week would be considered quite controversial in most traditional Christian circles, because I really challenged the model of a Trinity. I mean, I challenged that whole idea. And when I challenge it, I'm challenging the legalism of it. And even this week, I was online and I was looking at some Christian not documentaries, what's the word I'm looking for? Just some writings about the Holy Spirit. And so many of these writers would say, commentary, that's what I'm trying to think of. Some Christian commentaries, they would say, the Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not an energy. He's not an attitude. He is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And there's just something about that statement that sounds inherently conflicted. Say what? Brenda's back. She gets hit by a car and she's here next Sunday. Like, I ain't going nowhere. I'm like, well, okay. There's Wonder Woman again. Actually, I will have that fan now. It's getting a little muggy. Or is it just the anointing I'm feeling? What I said last week, I said, when I was a kid and I was raised in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. Larry asked me last week, he said, why was there a difference between the word Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost? I said, it's really kind of a non-issue. One's more of a Germanic root, one's more of a French root, but they mean the same thing. And we all, words have baggage on them. You know, spirit is a beautiful word. Ghost is scary. And even in the old school Pentecostal churches, we were suspect if somebody said Holy Spirit, that we thought that sounded too refined. That sounded too uptown. The charismatics believe in the Holy Spirit. We're Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost meant, you know, like all that. It was just different. And I'm not, let me tell you where I am with this. I don't dismiss any of that. Let me explain to you, namaste for me isn't a word. It's an attitude. I'm at peace with my God, but I'm also at peace with your God. That's why I don't want to argue with you. I've had some drama this week in my inbox of people thinking I'm avoiding argument. I'm like, look, I avoid argument intentionally. I'm not afraid to argue. I'm so good at it that it scares me. I know what it's like to just argue with somebody till you just take them down and they're, you know, destroyed. And you feel like, well, that didn't accomplish. All I did was just demean them. And I don't like it. It's a part of my personality. I don't like to exalt. And if I avoid an argument, it's not that I don't think I'm right or that I'm afraid of you. It's like these things are so settled in me, I don't have time to even argue with you about it because I don't care if you believe it or not. I mean, namaste means do what works for you. If you believe in the traditional concept of the Trinity, I get it. I'm not trying to argue you out of it. I'm just in a different place. The Ministry of Reconciliation brings all of these schools of thought together. The true Spirit of God doesn't want to divide up the world in pie pieces. The Spirit of God wants to bring everybody together. On the day of Pentecost, they were all there in one mind and in one accord, and they were Arabians and Europeans and Africans and people from Asia Minor, all of the known world at that time. That's why Jesus said it's necessary that I go away. As long as I'm here, you're going to see God as male. You're going to see him as Jewish. You're going to see him connected to the nation of Israel. It's necessary that I go away to take the parameters off of your concept and definitions of God, if you can even define God. The voice that Moses heard when he said, "Who shall I tell them sent me?" The voice said, "You tell them I am sent you." You don't even, I am what? I don't even have to modify it. I just am. So when you say God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, what you've done is you've limited the concept of I am. Is the concept of Father, Son, Holy Ghost part of God? Sure, absolutely. The ancients wrote about their transcendent ideas in the understanding and the language that they had at the time. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Look, when the founding fathers wrote these documents like the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, I mean, come on. They were talking about white men from Europe. However, their words were so transcendent that now when we read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal," we realize, oh, well, that includes people from all the nations of the earth, and it also includes all the genders. And they didn't realize it. If you get legalistic about it, you develop an idea of America that it's a letter that kills. It's not a spirit that gives life. And the same thing is true for the documents that we call the Bible. You know, one thing that really annoys me is when somebody on Facebook says, "Somebody tell me, what's your favorite book?" And inevitably, there'll be somebody on there going, "The Bible." I'm like, "Y'all, you're such an idiot." Like, first of all, it's not a book. Secondly, you can't compare it with, you know, Gone with the Wind and the Autobiography of Malcolm X. I mean, these, like, you're trying to make some religious statement that's just making you look bogus. Delete. Yeah, my favorite word is delete. Listen how it just trips. Delete. There's immediately a cleansing breath that comes with it. And I feel stress and delete. The neuropaths in my brain go, they connect the dots immediately from delete to bliss. Just like delete and happy. Because I don't want to argue. You know, Jesus didn't say delete. He said agree with your adversary quickly when you're in the way with him. Meaning, don't waste your time. You could win the fight, but you're going to scuff up your shoes and break a sweat and tear your pants. And, you know, it's not worth it. If a bigger dude than you tells you he can beat you up, just believe him and say, "I don't want to fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter." Don't waste your time, because he can still beat you up, but it's not worth it to him. He already knows he can. He have to prove something to you. That's why I don't want to argue the Bible with you. If I argued the Bible with most people, I would embarrass them. I'm just telling you, I don't know about a lot of stuff, but I know my way around those 69 books. It is 69. 39 and 27, 66 books. Well, maybe I don't know my way that well. There's some book. No, In fairness to me, the Protestants have 66. The Catholics include the Apocrypha, which adds another 13. Don't make me quote them to you. Don't. You don't want to go there. If I don't know about it, I'll just say, I don't know about that. But of this, I know. I don't want to argue about it. It's like, when I argue about the Bible, it makes me want to get away from it. It's like, ugh, that's, I don't like the energy that you've taken of these beautiful words, and you've put your weird mojo on it, and now it's creeping me out. It's that, it didn't make me feel better. It didn't make me feel closer to God. And so that's what I was trying to explain last week. When I was a kid, I would think, well, how is there a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? And if it's a family model, why isn't there a mother? And if you're telling me the Holy Spirit is not it, it's He. You're saying the Holy Spirit is God, but you're also adamantly telling me not to worship it or Him. So you're sending me so many weird mixed signals from your legalistic interpretation. The Holy Spirit is God, but you can't worship Him. That doesn't make sense. And even the movement that Eddie came out of, because Eddie was apostolic, and that movement came from people who were trying to understand the, I don't want to say the lunacy of a Trinity, but even then they got into some weird legalism. Like they were on to something, but then they got all mixed up on why women shouldn't wear makeup and stuff. And it's just weird what can happen to people who have an element of truth. And then they get crystallized around the truth because they, you know, they're exclusive rather than inclusive. Exclusive people say, we believe this, and if you don't believe like us, you can't be a part of our group. Inclusive people say, well, this is what we believe. Whatever you believe is fine with us. Some people are afraid of that. Oh, you're going to water down the truth. Well, then why don't you have more confidence in the truth? If it's truth, truth is going to stand. That's why when somebody tells me they're an atheist, I think I don't even take the bait to want to argue with them. At most, I may engage them in a conversation just to ask, "How did you get to that place?" But now, having said that, let me show you this verse of scripture, which is kind of where the legalistic model came for God in three persons. And it's John chapter 14, verse 15 through 17. Remember I told you last week, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16 of John, it's Jesus telling the disciples goodbye. And they keep trying to bring him into what's going to happen to us, where are you going, what's going to happen to Israel. And it's nearly like he's on such a different track. He's like, he's answering everything with Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy. Even on into the book of Acts, first chapter, he says, they says, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to Israel? Are you going to establish the kingdom now? And he says, go back to Jerusalem and wait until you're endued with power. It's like he wouldn't even answer their question because they couldn't understand why he had to go. And I had several of you told me this week that of all the things we talked about last week, this was the one that had the glory on it for you. Sometimes something has to go so that something else can come. And listen, it doesn't have to be bad for it to go. This is what confused the disciples. There wasn't anything bad about Jesus being there. So when he said, it's necessary that I go away, he wasn't saying, I got to get out of this place. He was saying, I've got to change your paradigm of God and of yourself, because as long as I stay here as Jesus, you're never going to become me. But if I go away, you will be forced to find the God in you. And this is why you got to learn how to let stuff go. Sometimes a relationship is over. It doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad relationship. It just means it's necessary that that goes away so that this can come. When you stop seeing your world through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your paradigm about everything will change. That's why when somebody says to me, well, you act like you don't even miss church in the now. I don't miss church in the now. I love church in the now. I'm proud of church in the now. It's a part, it will always be a part of me. But it's not an either or. I mean, that was then, this is now. I don't I love the fall, that doesn't mean I hate the summer. I mean, we've been to the beach more this year than I think I ever remember going to the beach. And we're still taking my parents back down there in a couple of weeks. And I'm already, I can tell, we were in the store last night, and I'm already feeling a corduroy and like, ooh, I love it. I always get excited when the fall stuff gets in here because it makes me, it takes me to a happy place of back to school clothes. And, you know, there's just things about the fall that I love. But I've loved me some summer. I never liked Daytona Beach till this year. I mean, I used to go there and think, oh, I hate Daytona. This year I went with Ken's family. I'm like, I got to get over myself. Daytona's great. Well, I thought you liked Panama City. I love Panama City. I thought you liked Jekyll Island. I love Jekyll Island. There's one of my favorite proverbs that says, he who has a merry heart has a continual feast. And that means you don't have to hate Jekyll Island to love St. Simons. And it's all good. It's all different and it's all good. I don't have to hate chicken to love fish. They're just all, it's all good. So, this is when, in the King James, he says, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. So if you read that legalistically, you can see why, especially, I'm trying to think of the man who really, he was part of the Council of Nicaea. I want to say Augustine, but he was the first one that really kind of called it a trinity, and I may be wrong about that, but the doctrine itself can be traced back to a particular man. Here's the bottom line. God can't be defined. Jesus came and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But like in the same breath said, and I have to go away. Because this isn't all that God is. And if I stay here, you're going to think that I and I alone am God. And you're going to start something called Christianity. And that's not what I came to do. All right, this is it in the message. He says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. What did Obi-Wan Kenobi say? The Force will be with you always. I love this. The godless world can't take him in, because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. I told a story last week about this key mysteriously appearing on my key ring that opened the storage thing to get the painting out for Damien, who came up last Sunday to get it before she went back. Now, some people would hear that and think, you put that key on there and you forgot it. Well, maybe. I can tell you this. I have thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. I think I can't, for the life of me, remember where that key came from. I do not, and I know I didn't get it from the concierge. And it's not important enough to me to take a lie detector and try to prove to you it was on there. Because, all right, fair enough. Maybe I did have it and put it on there and don't remember. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm telling you, you have to know what to look for. Doesn't know what to look for. Einstein said, two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. And you nearly can't blend the two. It's kind of an either or. You're either just going to live in the miraculous, or you're just going to think everything's a bah humbug. And I can tell you this, you're going to be miserable. Avery mentioned this about the grounding, and somebody, I think Patty agreed with her. She said, I didn't realize how long it had been since I'd gone barefoot outside, and it really sort of put me in touch with being a kid again. Then she even posted one playing in the mud. I was like, Avery, you're taking it too far now. Yeah. But what she was saying is there was a part of childhood running around barefoot that was fun. You going to step on a pine cone if you do. Shut up. Yeah, be careful. But why do you think Jesus said, when they said, show us the kingdom, who does he call put in the middle of the group? The kid. Puts a little child in there and he says, let me show you this child. Unless you become like this child, you will never see the kingdom. And then to Nicodemus, he took it even further, unless you're born again. Oh my God, the summer of 1967, I was 9 years old and Six Flags Over Georgia opened. And there wasn't even that much there then, but they kept showing those advertisements. And I was like, oh my God, please. I can't tell you how much I want to go to Six Flags. And our little Church of God youth group got together, a group, and we were going to go. I'm not exaggerating. I got dressed on Friday night and sat on my bed waiting. It's like, when are we going? I mean, I didn't sleep at all. Of course, I was exhausted when I got to Six Flags. But I can remember everything about it. Walking in there and the way the asphalt smelt. And, oh, my God, they had Sid and Marty Krofft did a puppet show. And they had the Chevy show. And back then, the scariest ride was the Dahlonega Mine Train. But I just thought, oh, it exceeded expectations. I was like, oh, my God. Who needs streets of gold and gates of pearl? This is heaven. Now, fast forward years later of taking my kids and taking my grandkids and saying for the last 13 times I was there, I am never going to Six Flags. I'm not going to stand in this line again. It's not like it was. Even when we first got together, they had like gay days at Six Flags. I thought, well, let's go support the community. We went there and said, this is a one-time thing. You know, like, yay, rainbow flag. What time can we get out of here? What do we ride? The Cyclone? It's like, Lord have mercy, I'm never getting on that again. If I were to the only way I could enjoy Six Flags now would be to be born again. Because seeing it from where I am now, I just see it differently. I'm like, wow, we took my granddaughters there 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm like, good Lord, that's what it costs to go to Six Flags now? So I sure wasn't thinking that when I was a kid. I was just like, what time? I can remember. Remember when they used to pick you up in the parking lot? You were in that open air. Even that part was fun. I was like, oh my God, I'm already having fun. I'm just in the parking lot. Haven't even gotten inside the thing. This is already fun. It was. Not later. Later, when you're there and your kids are whining and you're complaining, I'm like, I can't believe this. I am never taking y'all somewhere. I remember taking Jared out of Rock City when he's a little kid, and this is what he looks like in the picture. And I took a picture. Yeah, that's what you do it for. You get that response. I mean, you know, I'm like, I'm sarcastic dad now. It's not fun to me now. And I've told you this story a bazillion times. It was brought to my memory this week. Took my kids to Disney World when they were little, and they were whining and complaining about stuff. And I'm not throwing my kids under the bus. It's just what kids do. They were tired, and the lines are an hour and something long. And I remember I'm in the line. A Japanese family's in front of me, and a French family is behind me. And I'm yelling at my kids, and the Japanese dad is yelling at his Japanese kids, and the French guy. I didn't speak either of their languages, but the three of us dads looked at each other and went, it was like, the international language of exasperated parenthood. I was like, I don't have to speak Japanese to understand what you just said to me. I feel you, dog. How do I say that in Japanese? You're preaching to the choir. Never doing this again. So for me to see a thing a certain way, I've got to see it like a child. Even now, at Christmas time, it doesn't happen the full time of Christmas, but there'll be one little moment where I'll suddenly get that feeling that you used to get, like when they put the tree up and whatever, and the excitement. And I want that. That's how you see the kingdom. I love this line. He says, they don't notice the spirit, the force, the energy, because they don't know what to look for. Queen of Soul passed this week. And one thing that's very interesting about Aretha Franklin, and this isn't exclusive to her, because Elvis grew up in the church. I mean, basically rock and roll was birthed out of gospel. So a lot of the, the greats in R&B and soul and rock and roll, whatever, they have a history in church. And I had posted a few days earlier, I said, the one regret I have is I never saw her live in concert. But then I remember, oh, I did see her in concert, but Judah and I went to Obama's inauguration in 09, January 09. I did hear her sing. I mean, she was like, look this big, but I did at least see her live. What's interesting about Aretha, and I've read people post this week, because, you know, there's church people who will be dismissive of people saying Aretha never left the church. You know, because those people are like, yeah. If you read the lyrics to Dr. Feelgood, she left the church. Let me tell you something. Even if you're not in the mood, Dr. Feelgood is just... Don't even make me sing it. Because she don't want nobody sitting around. Would you believe it? I get up, put on some clothes, go out and help you find somebody for yourself if I can. Now, I don't mind company. Because company is all right with me every once in a while. Yes, it is. I said, I don't mind company. Because company's all right with me. But, oh, it's the way she goes, oh, when me and that man get to love, I'm like, ooh, Lord. Y'all get a room. I don't think I should be listening to this. I tell you, girls, I dig you, but I don't have time to sit and chit and chit-chat and smile. Don't send me no doctor. Anyway. The definition of the word anointing is basically effectiveness. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach liberty to the captives. When we used to say, oh, that was so anointed. Well, anointed means it was equipped to do something to you. And one thing that was interesting about Aretha, because even Reba posted a little video of her coming off the stage after just singing a gospel song, and she does the thing that is at the end of gospel music when, you know, after the song's over and some they start doing that, na-na-na-na-na, and she starts doing the, it's like that was in her. And for her, being in and out of the Holy Ghost, there's no such thing. It was all Holy Ghost. Well, how can it be Holy Ghost if she's singing a nasty song? Because it just was. And that's what a lot of her critics used to say, is that she sings the devil's music to God's music. I'm like, no, it's all God's music. And fasten your seatbelts. Sex is a part of the experience. Sex is a part of humanity. That's what's wrong with the church, is people, they were so afraid to talk about sex, and they removed it so much that you look on the news this week and you got all these priests, so many more molestations have taken place than they even thought. Why? It's because celibacy is unnatural. It's like people shouldn't have taken an oath of sex. I'm just telling you, and people are going to find some sexual expression somewhere. Did I just get too real? But what I'm saying is everything Aretha sang was anointed. I mean, I posted a video of her singing a long time back, the Mahalia Jackson classic, How I Got Over. But everything, I mean, you listen to Bridge Over Troubled Waters, you have revival when you hear that. And that's not a Christian song. But when those girls don't trouble the water, and that Hammond organ just takes its time, and she just riffs a little bit on the piano and just kind of makes you want some more. I'm like, you're killing me, Aretha, you're killing me. Because the anointing's about a whole, it's a dimension, it's an ambiance that you create. I'm not saying it's a show, but it's something that's indefinable. You don't know how to describe it, but you know it when you see it. And I think with her, because you're going to hear a lot of, everywhere I went yesterday, they were playing Aretha Franklin music. You're going to hear a lot of it the next few days. I read somewhere her funeral is going to be like 4 days long. Lord have mercy. She wins. That's going to be, of all the funerals, and there have been some big ones. I mean, Whitney's was pretty big, but 4 days? I'm like, wow. But it's not an either or. Whatever that gift was that was innately in her, yes, it became the voice of the civil rights movement or whatever, but you don't have to be black to connect with that. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be talk dirty here, but Respect is a song about sex. It was originally done by Otis Redding, and he was basically saying, I'm supporting you when I get home. This is my money. I expect You take care of business. R-E-S-P-E-C-T was, this is your contribution to the to what we got going here. So it was a very feminist thing for her as a woman. And of course, it means something. And she took a whole new dimension to it. But that's what it was. But buddy, when you hear R-E-S-P-E-C-T, I mean, don't you feel something? There's something, you can't hear that on the radio without stopping and waiting for her to spell it out. You've heard it a million times, but it does something to you. That's anointed. How could you say? Because it is. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my spirit on everything. Everything. Why do you think you can go to the beach and sit there and be quiet and you feel the spirit? There's no organ playing. There's no choir. Nobody's leading worship. I don't think at the meditation, did we say the name of Jesus once? I don't remember. Was the presence of God there? Oh, yeah. But see, if you don't know what to look for, you'll just think, well, we're just standing here in the water. Well, fine. You also, if you had heard Jesus teach his parables, you would think he was just giving instructions on farming. You wouldn't understand when he's talking about the seed time and harvest and all that kind of stuff. You don't understand. He's saying something. It's a spiritual principle. I mean, remember over there in Mark 4, he says, if you'll understand, when he talked about the sower sows the word, he said, if you'll understand this parable, it'll unlock all the other parables. But see, if you don't hear that with spiritual ears, you'll just think, well, what's the big deal? He's just talking about seeds, but, you know, falling by the wayside and birds coming and eating it up. That's not so bad. Fine. If you don't see it, if you don't know what to look for. And what's interesting, look at this. It says, he has been staying with you and will even be in you. Now, I grew up hearing people argue about that because the kind of Pentecostal we believed in two works of grace. We believed you got saved and then you got, depending on what church you went to, you either got filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit. Now, in the Church of God, we believe three works of grace. You believe you got saved and then sanctified and then filled with the Holy Ghost. And what's interesting about legalism is people start arguing over the most insane things. They argue over water baptism. Do you dunk them? Do you sprinkle them? Do you say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus? You remember back in my day when I used to baptize? I covered all my bases. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, putting you under the water and sprinkling you when you come up. Like, I am beyond argument. There ain't nothing there I did that you can argue with. Because whatever way you like it, I did it just then. Don't try this at home. It takes a professional to do something like that. Thank you very much. Amateur could never pull that off. But what this is in the year 2018, this is how I read this. Because we used to say, well, the Holy Spirit's outside you, but then he gets inside you. That's not what I believe. I believe there comes a day where you know what to look for. We went to see the new Spike Lee movie yesterday, Black Klansman. It's a true story. Good movie. Incredible filmmaker. But I was listening. I listened to Alec Baldwin's podcast a lot, and Alec Baldwin's in this movie. So he interviewed Spike Lee in his podcast last week, and I was listening to it. And it was interesting because, when you're going to teach on something, your antenna, you're just very aware of everything. And Baldwin was asking him, how did you become a filmmaker? Because he went to Morehouse, but that's not what he went to school for. And he was talking about, he said, the year that I graduated, I was back in Brooklyn, and there was nothing going on. He was explaining what the time was in the early 90s or whatever, and he said, I don't know if you'll know what this means, he said. But when he said it, I felt it come out of my car. He says, the Spirit moved on me, and I went and talked to this woman who gave me my first camera. He said, just the Spirit. Now, that's not the kind of Spirit. To me, when I grew up, Spirit meant you spoke in tongues. But when he said that, he said, I don't know, and Alec Baldwin didn't have a response to it, but it's like it was so genuine when he said it. He said, the Spirit moved me to go meet this woman, and she was the reason he became the filmmaker that he became. And when he said that, I thought, I know exactly. When I talk about Holy Spirit, you don't think of Spike Lee being an aficionado on the Holy Spirit. And yet when he said it, I thought, he knows the Holy Ghost. His awareness may not fit your definition. But the force is with you always. And when you know what to look for, you'll see that your church had a little part of it, but that wasn't all of it. Let me show the same thing to you, and it's wordy. But this is in the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. And when I've got the ellipses, it's because it just became so wordy, I took some of it out. But let me show you. It says, if you are, same passage, if you are habitually loving me, you will continue observing, I love this, my implanted goals or impartations of the finished product within. I love that because he says, my commandments are the things I've already put in your heart. What? When Jesus said, keep my commandments, he wasn't saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. He was saying, do what I've told you specifically to do. Psalm 37:4, delight in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean if you do some stuff, God grants you your wish. It means he put them there in the first place. The more you see who God is, the more you see who you are. My implanted goals, impartations of the finished product within, inward directives, interior purposes, and destiny. And I myself will continue asking the Father, and he will proceed to be giving another helper or one called alongside to give assistance, relief, comfort, and encouragement, a paraclete of like kind to you folks, to the end that he or it, because the Greek does not ascribe a gender to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does not have a penis. I think it's the first time I've ever said that word, but I need to make this point. People who get so gender specific about God, they create weird religions that oppress women. Look, the sign of the covenant was that a man had to be, in this movie yesterday, the guy who's going undercover is Jewish, and the Klan guy says he wants to see his private part. And he said, why? He said, because I know you Jews, I know what y'all do. He said, have you been circumstanced? But even the even the sign of the covenant with Abraham, women, you're not even anatomically correct for the covenant. You got to marry into the covenant and just hope that the man whose harem you're a part of likes you enough before he sends you a writ of dismissal and divorces you. Because back in the day, that's why when people say we need to get back to biblical marriage, really, have you read the Bible? Because biblical marriage meant when he was tired of you, he just said bye-bye and kept all of the dowry that your daddy gave him, and you're just SOL. Sorry, I'm cussing up a storm today. I don't know what happened. But, you know, when Hagar gets sent out with Ishmael, it's like she's got nothing. If you want traditional marriage, that's fine. But, you know, it's just only been the last several hundred years that people started marrying for love. Back in the day, they married, it was arranged marriages. And usually end up better marriages. Like, people didn't have to stop to think, do I really want this? This is what they were told. Well, that's not true. I take that back. There's some horrible stuff that happened. But I'm saying, religion, oh, it's such a weird boys' club. You know, the holiness people in this country, women couldn't wear pants, couldn't wear makeup. Like, my dad didn't do it, but I used to hear the preachers from the denomination. They always were on women. Never talked about what men looked like. The men looked great. The men looked, those Holy Ghost-filled preachers, they looked like Las Vegas. They were clean or whatever, and they're, you know, their little wives, no makeup, no pants. Can't pierce their ears. Like, what's that about? And then if you're a Muslim, you know, not even allowed to be educated, or it was some big deal. What country just now let women drive? Was it? Yeah. And that was huge. So, to the end that he or it can continue being with you folks or on into the midst of the age, the spirit of the truth, or the spirit and breath of reality. the breath effect and attitude, which is reality. Does that sound like a person? No, it's something bigger than a person. God became a person as Jesus for 33 years. God is not a person now. That was a mode of communication. If you get on the floor and play with your grandchild, it doesn't make you 5 years old. It means that you're communicating to them in a way they can understand. The breath effect and attitude, which is reality, whom the system or the world, ordered arrangement of religion, politics, and culture, the controlling system has no power to receive because it is not habitually gazing upon it or him with contemplation, continually viewing and watching it with attentive interest, nor is it coming to intimately and experientially know it or him. Yet you folks are progressively knowing it or him by intimate experience because it or he is continuously dwelling or remaining or abiding alongside you folks in your presence, and it or he continuously exists within or in union with and among you people. That's huge. Because he's saying, yes, the he part is a part, but you could just as easily say she. The Holy Spirit is just as, if you're going to get gender specific, then the Holy Spirit is he, is it, is she. But even that's not, that's why I was telling you last week, in 1977, when I went to see Star Wars the first time, and I couldn't understand, why is this guy taking me, this guy I went to high school with, you got to see this movie. I don't want to see this. I don't like sci-fi. I got into it immediately. I mean, it's just, there's something about that, especially in the time that it came out, that first one. It was just, I'd never seen anything like it. And when he would talk about the Force, you know, when you're, heart knows things that your head doesn't know yet. When you talk about the Force, I would think, it sounds like he's talking about the Holy Spirit. But my tradition says, no, the Holy Spirit is he. He's God, but you can't worship him. And he makes people speak in tongues. Yes, sometimes he does. Sometimes it does. There's not one thing I've ever experienced in that was legitimate in charismatic meetings I've been in, old-time Pentecostal meetings, there were some things that happened that were so real. I remember, it's been about a year ago, Eddie was singing for us, and he talked about his Pentecostal grandmother. And, you know, a lot of times before Eddie sings, he'll tell you he's kind of a folksy, he's a great storyteller. I've always said this, it kind of reminds me of the way Andy Griffith used to tell stories, and it sort of gives you a backstory to the song. And he was talking, you know, his grandmothers were apostolic holiness, and you know, they were what they were. But he said, I had a grandmother, was your mom's mom? He said, I could be sick with a fever, and she'd walk, the way he described it, he said, her hair piled up on top of her head, and she'd say, baby, what's wrong with you? And he'd say, what'd you call her, Meemaw or whatever? I'm sick, and he said, she would go, shata baba hasata. And he said, the fever would go away, and I said, Eddie, God, I just totally felt that when you said it. I mean, I know you were trying to be funny, but it's like, and I was telling Howie about it one day, and he started crying on the phone. He said, I totally understand what you said. And Howie didn't even go to church anymore. I said, no, I'm telling you, I know exactly what he meant. And there were things that woman believed that there's no point you arguing about because I get it. I had the same grandmother, which is why I know I've overtold this story, but I'm telling you, you know, when my four grandparents appeared to me, I was like, it was the worst day of hate mail I'd ever had. And it was just so much, I thought, I was having some big regret. I thought I should have never come out. And my roommate from college sent me a horrible text that was just like, it just pushed me over the edge. It was like, you ever seen Marionette get the strings cut and just collapses? I just like plopped down the kitchen floor. I thought, God, my life's over. I have screwed up my life. Everybody I know has turned on me. And I was so depressed. And I went, and I just laid down on my bed. And that place between being awake and sleep, it's like with the It's like the eclipse phase. All of a sudden I looked, and there's Wallace and Kate and Earl and Addie Mae, just pretty as you please, the four of them sitting at a table. And they looked like they looked when I would have been about an adolescent. And I talked to them, and my grandmother, she had her horn-rimmed glasses and her hair piled up on her head. And I said, "Grandmother, I don't know if you heard this, but I came out and I told my church, and I said, I've kind of lost everything because of it." And my grandmother, she was old school. I mean, everything was prefaced with, "The Bible speaks out against. The Bible speaks out against. Bible, you know, I don't believe in that." And my religious grandmother from the other side looked at me and said, "Jamal, on that side, that stuff matters. But on this side, none of that stuff matters." And they disappeared. Buddy, when I got up off that bed, Jesus himself could come and say something homophobic to me, and I'd be like, "Jesus, you'll get it eventually." I'm telling you. It's like there's no way. On my fan page just this week, somebody explained to me how you could be, and I just deleted it. It's like, I don't even have time to explain this to you. I've written a book. I'm not even going to read this whole comment because I've already read this nonsense before. I don't care. I already know. I've always been filled with the Spirit. I always will be filled with the Spirit. I've always been anointed. I always will be anointed. I'm telling you, I was anointed when I didn't even know what anointed meant. I can go into a place. He could tell you, we'll go into a place in New York. We're just standing there. I'll be at Century 21. It's like a big glorified Marshalls. I'm going there buying shirts. And people come up to me and ask, "Does this shirt go with this?" Whatever. And I'm helping people. I'm like, "You know, I don't work here, but I'm automatically in leadership mode wherever I go because I was anointed to be a leader. I will always influence people. I will always have a following. I will always be financially supported from it. I will always enjoy what I do. I've done it my whole life. Doesn't matter. It has come and it has gone, but the anointing has remained." And another story I've told you many times, but a guy I went to college with wrote me, this has been 3 or 4 years ago. He said, "I got to tell you," he said, "I disagree with you. I don't support you coming out." He said, "I do think you're called to the gay community, but you're called to deliver them." He said, "I know you don't agree with that, but that's what I believe." He said, "I want to tell you," he said, "I watch your videos, I watch your sermons, and I steal from you constantly. I have to edit it because my church isn't." He said, "What I don't understand is the hand of God is so clearly on you, and I don't know what to make of that because it flies in the face of my tradition." And I didn't unfriend him. I said, "Well, fair enough. I think that's a very candid thing that you said, and I mean, I get it. But I can also tell you this: I already knew the hand of God was on me, and you have to know that. Look. Hear this, the world doesn't recognize the Spirit. They don't know what to look for. You have to know how to look for God in the outside, and you have to know how to look for God on the inside. One does not exclude the other. And until you get your outside God and your inside God secure, you're going to be tossed to and fro constantly. You're going to be sucked into arguments. You're going to join churches and quit churches and argue. It's like, I've opted out of that. I can't believe it's been a year, but when John Scott was here for our thing, and Patricia, y'all came up and sang back up with me, "My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul." You don't need the Bible for that. That's something that you know. All right, this is an interesting quote by E.O. Wilson. This guy, let me do this one first. It says, "The essence of humanity's spiritual dilemma is that this is him. This guy is a biologist. He's not a theologian. But he says, "The essence of humanity's spiritual dilemma is that we evolved genetically to accept one truth and discovered another." Bear with me. "Is there a way to erase the dilemma, to resolve the contradictions between the transcendentalist and the empiricist worldviews?" Let me explain to you what he means by that. Remember I told you last week when the tsunami came to Sri Lanka a few years ago, the animals knew about it days ahead of time and they went to higher ground? You can call that instinct or whatever. It's the force. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's the same thing. I don't want to argue with you about it. I just know I'm right on this. If you don't see it, you will eventually. One reason, I'm not saying our trip to Cherokee is going to change the world, but one reason I want to go connect with people who have a culture more closely aligned with the earth is there are things that we instinctively as human beings know. Like for instance, when I started telling you that I didn't believe our literal interpretations of hell as a place of fiery confinement for eternity, the reason you, those of you who stayed with me through it, is because innately you already had said, how can a loving God do that? Like that doesn't make sense. If you're telling me God loves everybody, like I didn't have to convince you of that. You have no need any man should teach you. You were just waiting for somebody who had a microphone and some authority and some learning behind him to say, no, what you already knew in your heart already was the truth. I remember Jared was 5, maybe. I'm riding the car. He's in the front seat, and he's asking me, because he'd started hearing some stuff in children. We didn't have Sunday school, but we had children's church. He was hearing some stuff. So I was trying to explain. You know, your kids will ask you some stuff at 5 that you're like, oh, Lord, I don't have an answer for that. So he says, well, does God love everybody? Yes. Does God forgive everybody? I said, yes. He said, well, then why can't God just forgive the devil? I was like, all right, let's turn on the radio and listen. Like, because when you start reading the book of Revelation, it says that everything comes in and bows its knee. Boy, people get really wigged out when you say that. Like, you can't tell me the devil's... Well, the devil's not going to get saved in the way that you got saved. But there's a reason why Acts says he's held in the heavens till the restoration of all things. Until everything is put back the way it was originally supposed to be. Until there is a people who see the world through the tree of life as opposed to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There aren't good and bad people. There are people who are less evolved than others. Now, when I say that, people think, oh, are you just saying let everybody out of prison? No. There's some people need to be in prison. I've gone to visit people. I see you behind that glass. I'm like, I don't believe you're going to hell, but I like that you're back there. But I don't think you're ready to be out. Right. As long as you believe the ultimate question God asks Adam, who told you were naked, you would have never had that thought on your own. And anything that's wrong with any of us means that somebody came along and told us something that wasn't true, and we bought into it. And it caused us to hide from God in the cool of the day, which is why, you know why Aretha Franklin's getting all these accolades? It's not just because she was a great singer. And people say she's the greatest pop singer. I'm like, look, don't be dissing Barbara, because don't go there. I'll give her Queen of Soul. But you know what? You know what's the indelible impression? She's made no apology. Like, she goes singing. Like, I was noted, they were playing something from one of those Divas Live. She's on stage with Mariah and several people. And I think they sang Natural Woman. You know what she ended up with? Jesus, Jesus. And everybody, there's like, what's her name? The Cuban, Gloria Estefan. She's on there singing Jesus. Like, well, Aretha don't care. She just took Jesus right in there. That's a very evolved mentality. Because the church she came out of would be like, no, this is the devil's music, this is God's music. She never saw it that way. She's like, it's just all music. And if I'm singing about Jesus or Dr. Feelgood, I can make you feel something. And it's how could that be anointed? Because it's anointed. And I love this, and it's one reason we're going to Cherokee to tap into a little bit. I love the people who are closer to the truth they were evolved to believe in. Because as it turns out, I was taught in Bible college, the clock's not up there, so I will go to 2 o'clock. Okay, I'm good. Clock's not up there. You know you have to put that clock up there or I will never shut up. BJ? get your mind on Jesus and get that clock on. I know, my shoes rocked your world today. He hadn't been the same. I can always tell BJ thinks I look good. First of all, I get lips. He goes, but today he did lips, sat down, and crossed his leg. I thought, wow, are they that good? And I was like, yes, sir. He hadn't recovered. That unapologetic celebration of everything that is anointed is where we need to all be going. It's called enjoying life. Jesus didn't say, I came that you might go to heaven when you die. Isn't that what he said? I came that you might have life and that you might endure it through all of its hardships until you finally get to heaven and Jesus apologizes to you for how miserable it's been. It's supposed to be, no, you're supposed to, look, people, enjoying your life is a holy thing. Let me show you this. This is Black Elk. He was a great chief. He wasn't Cherokee. He was, I forgot what tribe he was with. But it says, the first piece, which is the most important, is that which comes within the souls of people when they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all its powers. And when they realize at the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit and that its center is really everywhere, it is within each of us. He didn't get that from the Bible. There's a verse, I mean, I'll bring it up next week because I don't have it here. It's in Romans 2 where Paul talks about the heathen being a law unto themselves, meaning people already know God. They just need to know that they know God. Because you know what's wrong with so many people is their concept of God, they were told, was wrong. And because authority figures told them what you believe is wrong, now they've got this weird thing going on trying to reconcile what Brother So-and-so said and what Mama Nim said with what they innately know is the truth. I was told in Bible college, if the text says one thing and your heart says something else, you dismiss your heart and you go with the text. The text is always right. Now I think just the opposite. Now when I read something, the text doesn't jive with my heart. It doesn't make me dismiss it. It makes me study it more. Like, all right, well then what exactly, why did you say that then? Why did Jesus give a parable about the man who's, the rich man who was thrown into what was interpreted as hell? Why did, when you read the whole thing in context, it was like a fable he was telling. You could see he was all he was saying there, it was not a lecture on hell. It was about if you have wherewithal and there's a beggar on your front step that you're not paying attention to. He's basically talking about karma. There's a way it will even out. That's all he was saying. And people made it this whole doctrine about hell. No, you're missing the point. When somebody talks about the tortoise and the hare, it doesn't matter whether that race ever actually took place. It's a great object lesson about consistency. When people go, I want to know what kind of tortoise it was. Because in my church, we believe it was the African tortoise. I remember when I ran Norval Hayes' Bible school, I had a secretary who was she had a very funny way of looking at things. And when she worked for me, I'd gone to Israel for the first time. And I went on this tour, and they were showing us these, they're called locust trees. And they're what they produce is very much like carob. It's kind of like chocolate. So when it says that John the Baptist was in the wilderness and he ate locusts and wild honey, he wasn't eating grasshoppers. He was eating the fruit off that tree. So when I came home, Darlene was asking me about my trip. I said, you know, it was interesting. We saw these locust trees. I said, you know, when it says John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey, he wasn't eating bugs. He was eating, the fruit of the tree. And she says, no, la, la, la. She says, locust is a bug. Locust is a bug. That's what my Bible says. If you start compromising on that, what's the next thing you're going to let go? And I knew she was joking, but there are a lot of people that believe that way. I've heard people say, well, you know, the reason children have you know, children's diseases because Jesus had suffered the little children to come unto me. I'm like, oh my God. Suffer is an Elizabethan English word for allow. It means I'll let the little children come to me. He's not talking about human suffering. Good God. Well, I only believe the authorized version. Really? Are you a British subject who lived in the 17th century? Because otherwise, it's not authorized for you unless James, the King of England, is your king. I don't think you're British, and I don't think you lived then. Jesus never said thee, never said thou, never said wouldst. All right. Let's finish this up because I know y'all are cold. Y'all are giving. Like, it was so cold in that theater. We saw that movie yesterday. I said, is this what everybody goes through every Sunday? Sorry. Bring a blanket. Because I have to be cool. If daddy ain't happy, nobody's happy. Emerson says, great men are they who see that spiritual is stronger than any material force, that thoughts rule the world. It's just true. And then I want to end with, this is another verse of scripture. This is Acts 10:38. And it's a great verse of scripture. It's Luke wrote the book of Acts. And he's talking about Jesus, and he's saying that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do miracles. King James says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good works and destroying the works of the devil. Let me show you what it says in the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament, which is, if you don't know, this is as explicit as the organic original Greek could possibly mean. It says, Jesus, the one from Nazareth, even as how God anointed him with, or the set apart breath effect, or the Holy Spirit, or the, what are those two words? No, the Holy Spirit is God. Well, go back and read. I remember I was in the parking lot at church in the now, and a guy goes, "What? You keep talking about original languages. Original, what are you talking about, original languages?" He's like all up in my face. I said, well, you know Jesus spoke Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. You know that, right? He says, well, I just believe it's the way God said it should be. Okay, well, you do know there's different languages, right? Different languages have different ways of saying things. That's why there's interpreters and that kind of thing. I was waiting for him to say, have you been circumstanced? Anyway. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If Aretha hadn't passed this week, I wouldn't say all this stuff. But I'm feeling her where she just didn't care. You know what I mean? Like that when she's like at the Lincoln Center singing Natural Woman, and she gets up and she doesn't care that the ASPCA doesn't like she's wearing fur coat. She gets up. She didn't care that her arms are big and, you know, like she didn't care. Boobs hanging out. She just didn't care. I thought, you do feel like a natural woman, Aretha. I mean, I think that's what righteousness consciousness is supposed to make you feel like. Like, yeah, this is what I look like. I got big boobs and flabby arms, and I got the best voice in the world. I'm taking this coat off and singing like, yeah. So I'm not going to apologize for saying what I've said today. I said it. It's amazing what a man will say under the anointing. It says the sacred attitude, even for or and or with the power and ability, who went throughout repeatedly doing good works or doing works bringing goodness, ease, and well-being, as well as constantly healing all the folks being continuously held down under power or tyrannized and oppressed. This is interesting. The King James calls it or him the devil. Here he says, by the one that casts things through folks, or the accuser, the slanderer, the adversary, because God was with him. Let me tell you what a lot of crazy religious teaching will make you. You don't need there to be a devil who's the accuser of the brethren. You're already beating yourself up. with your own internal voice. The devil would be like an amateur compared to what you say to yourself. What did Jesus say when Peter said, "No, we'll never let you go to the cross. We're not going to let that happen"? What did he say? And who did he call him? Satan. He called Peter Satan. Because he wasn't saying that Peter was this angel that fell from heaven and became loser. He was saying, you're speaking an advertisement. Listen, some of you, why do you think it's referred to as the doctrine of devils, plural? There's lots of devils. I've encountered many of them in my life. And not one of them had horns and a pitchfork. And sometimes I saw him in the mirror. Some of the stuff you're beating yourself up with. It doesn't even matter. God himself comes and says, "I've already forgiven you for that." Yeah, but I still. Look, I believe in owning what you did. I'm not saying you should. If you hurt somebody, I believe paying your debt to society. You're mature enough to understand what I'm saying. I'm saying what you. Makes me want to get that video of her slinging off that mink coat. I'm wearing mink. I don't care what you say. I'm not hiding these arms. Because God was with him. We're going to wrap it up with this today, but here's abundant life. All the experience you had with what we called Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, don't you get rid of any of that. That's why I told you so many stories last Sunday about things that have happened to me. There's no way I would ever doubt the authenticity of that. Furthermore, there was a time I thought it was my duty to pray for you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I don't even apologize for that. That was the light that I was walking in at the time. And there were things that happened to people that were really kind of amazing. So I put that in a whole other category of saying, no, that was an authentic thing that happened. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man who brings treasure out of his house, both things old and things new. It's not an either or. I don't hate Christianity, even though I don't really identify as Christian. And you don't have to. It's so great when you see somebody who says, "You're all New Age now." You're like, yeah, probably. I guess so. I remember somebody called me a New Thought teacher. I thought, I'm not New Thought. And I went to Wikipedia, and it's like, oh, I guess I, that kind of sounds exactly what I teach. Like, well, okay, touche, I guess I am. And why am I insulted at that? I know the Bible, I know Jesus, I know Holy Ghost. I also know laws of attraction, a little bit of quantum physics. I can make the connection. Isn't that great that you can have it all? You don't have to hate your childhood to love being an adult. All right. Let's all stand. I don't know. It's late. Nah, it's too late. You're getting a request for an encore performance, but it's too late. She'll do it again before the month's over. I'll say that. As her agent. did you get anything out of this today? Please remain standing. We'll officially close out for the YouTube people, and then I'll speak a blessing over you.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab. Then my online donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
Thank you, JESM and Danny. Receive that. If you have cash, pay it forward. It's Will's birthday. It's Karen's birthday. Maybe give them a blessing or take somebody out to lunch or do something. I'm glad everybody's here, but it's good to have you. Everybody that's here, love you all. Glad you're here. May the force be with you. And as Jesus said, the godless world doesn't recognize him because he doesn't know what to look for. I speak a blessing over your spiritual eyes that you see God in everything. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. And in everyone, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees who were rebuking him. And he says, and the kingdom of God's even within you. You don't see it yet, but you will. You will be born again. You will see the kingdom. It's such a better place to live. I saw what you posted. I don't know what your motivation was where you posted about peace of mind yesterday. You're exactly right. The kingdom of God is not rules and regulations. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And those three things are connected. Enjoy your life. God is in everything. Enjoy him. May the force be with you. Love you.